Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Would you pray with me? And so, Lord, we have come to this place to join the saints and the angels around your throne in making a joyful noise to you. For you are worthy. You are worthy of the songs that we sing. Thank you that we are the sheep of your pasture. And in that pasture, we find what our hearts need. We find what our hearts long for. Most importantly, in that pasture, we find a good shepherd who delights in us and loves us, protects us, sees us, knows us, cares for us. What a gift. And so, Lord, this morning, it is our gift to you to lay our lives before you once again through the gift of worship. Would you be glorified by what happens in this place? Would you be glorified by what's happening as our women gather in Ocean Shores right now? And would you be glorified by the lives that we live as we go from these two places of worship to continue to be your people in this world? We love you, and we love getting to love you together. And so would you bless our gathering? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will turn in your Bibles once again, same as last week, to John chapter 10. You can just stick a piece of paper there because we're going to be there next week and the week after as well. We are in a month-long series, and what is up with this abundant life stuff in John chapter 10? So hear these words again, John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." Would you pray with me? And so, Good Shepherd, you promise that you speak to your sheep. And we turn to your word week after week together, because our hearts long to, are desperate to hear from you. For we have come to believe, O Jesus, that you alone are the way and the truth and the life. And so would you speak into our hearts the words of life that you have for us today? Would your spirit move freely in this place? helping us hear whatever it is that you want us to hear. And so that you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the second week of this series in which we're zooming in on Jesus' promise in John 10:10. I have come to give them life and to give it abundantly. Last week, we hashed out three things that the abundant life is not. You remember any of those three things? Money is not wealth. It's not prosperity. That's good. It's not a life that's free from trials. There's thieves. There's wolves. And it's not just a promise for heaven. It is something that indeed leads to heaven, but also there's a gift of abundant life here and now. And then last week, we also named the one thing that is foundational. That if we're going to have abundant life in Christ at all, we've got to have this one thing before we have any of the other things. Do you remember what the one thing is? Relationship. Yeah, relationship, not just with anyone, but relationship with the Good Shepherd himself. This intimate, dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the Good Shepherd, and to have the abundant life, the sheep have to hang out with their shepherd to know him and to love him. So with this foundation laid, we've got three more weeks to see what else Jesus intends to spring from this relationship with him. What he intends to give us for this fullness of life to be what it is. Our youth this morning, I got to hang with them because their teachers are all retreating besides Jason. I don't know where he is, but he was in there with me. And we read the Message version of this. And Jesus says in the Message version, I've come to give you a life even better than you dreamed of. So we were asking, what more besides just dynamic life with Jesus, what more makes this life that is more than we dreamed of? And this morning I propose that the abundant life is not only found by people who are living close to Christ, though that's essential, but it's also found among people who are living in Christ-centered community, sharing life together. And you start scanning back over John 10, and I hear somebody saying, but John 10 doesn't really say anything about community. And there's nothing in there about that. It's just talking about a shepherd and a sheep. And I would respond, it is all about community. Have you ever seen a shepherd with just one sheep? No. And if you did, they weren't a very good shepherd. Because sheep are flock animals. Sheep must exist together. You just do a quick Google search today for people that are wanting to get into shepherding. And the immediate thing it tells you is keep in mind that you can't go and get just one sheep. It's not good for them. Sheep have got to live with other sheep. The searches I read said that really the smallest a flock should be for the sheep to be healthy, to be well, is really five. If you have to, you might could squeak by with three, but you need at least five. Because sheep feel secure. Sheep feel happy when they are living closely with other sheep. And when they get separated, sheep immediately become stressed and they begin to panic. They are meant to be together. Sheep have to be together. And even when you get that one ornery sheep who always wants to escape from the field, that ornery sheep almost always takes other sheep with it. They don't want to do anything alone. They don't want to eat alone. They don't want to sleep alone. They don't want to rebel alone. They don't want to explore alone. Sheep do everything in community. The very nature of sheep is to be together. They can only live the life that they are created to live by living in the flock. And Jesus calls us sheep for a reason. Because we need a good shepherd. We do not have a chance at abundant life without him. And we need a flock. We do not have a chance at flourishing without being truly in community. And I would say existing in the same room is not being in community. Being truly in community. John 10:10, I've come to give you a life and to give it to you abundantly. The you in that verse is plural. This is where us Texans have an advantage. What it should say is, I've come to give y'all abundant life. You guys, all of you. There is no abundant life without y'all. I've come to give y'all life and to give it to y'all abundantly. And I'm sure that's how Jesus sounds. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, whether you just really love people or if people drive you nuts, the same thing is true for all of us. We are all made for community. Y'all have abundant life together. We, all of us, are created by a God whose very existence is found in community. Did you know that for all of eternity, there has never been a Lone Ranger deity God? But he has always existed in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God has only ever existed in community. And then this God, when making humankind as the pinnacle of his creation, in Genesis 1, it says he created male and female together in the same breath. And together, he said, now this image, together, these people in community, this is good. No, this is not just good. This is very good. Because this looks like the God who lives in community. Just like sheep, we too are social beings. And though we live in a culture that values independence, and though we live in a culture that loves the Lone Rangers, we know what's true. And it is that our hearts really only thrive when we are together. We are made by the living God to be like God. And we do that when we do it in community. Why does the Good Shepherd want us to stay in the flock so badly? Why is that so essential for life to the full, for life better than we dreamed for it to be? Why does community matter? There are so many reasons. We could be here all day. I just tried to pick a few of the key ones. Why does it matter that we do this together? Together. We help each other stay faithful. These sheep, you know, in the morning, those shepherds get there bright and early. And there has got to be some days where there are some little sheep that are just too darn tired to get up and get going again. There's got to be those sheep sometimes who just want to lay back and sleep through the shepherd's call. The other sheep won't let it happen. They start trampling all over it and baying in their ears. And by that point, you may as well get up anyway, right? And as the flock starts to go behind the shepherd, you see this tired, tempted sheep that wanted to just kind of wait this day out. It begins to become afraid that maybe it's going to miss something being alone. Maybe it's going to miss something being sleepy. And so up it goes and runs to catch the group. And there he is, following the Good Shepherd too. And so it is with us. When we surround ourselves with people who love Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and who are determined to follow him come what may, they help see to it that I stay faithful in following him too. Christ-centered community keeps us faithful. In Acts chapter 4, you remember this story, Peter and John. They're arrested for preaching about Jesus risen from the dead. They're arrested, they're beaten, and then they're released, but they're released with a warning. They say, we're going to let you go, but you're going to be quiet about this Jesus guy. And so they get out of prison. They immediately go to the church where the people are gathered together and they're praying and they share the news of what's happened to them and they share the news of what the guards have told them. And everyone gathers around Peter and John and they start to pray together and they say, God, you've heard these threats. God, we are afraid, but God, would you keep us bold? Would you keep us faithful? Would you help us, oh God, not get silent about Jesus, no matter what might happen to us together? And with that prayer, Peter and John and the whole church press on in faithfulness in a very tense environment. If any of them had to stand up to those authorities alone, odds are all of them would have cratered. But together, they stay faithful. Together. When I get discouraged in ministry, I've got my go-to brothers and sisters in Christ. I've got those dear friends in my life who I know are always seeking with all of their hearts to follow Jesus too, to serve his church too. And I find when I start sharing my discouragements in their midst, these are the people who constantly remind me that Jesus is faithful and Jesus is good and that hard seasons come and hard seasons go. And we need only keep walking with him. There are people in my life that I go to assure me over and over again that things will get better and people who will always point out where life already is happening all around. And when I come to these people, when I'm so discouraged and ready to call it quits, I leave their presence ready to keep on keeping on with Jesus. Because that's what Christ-centered community does for us together. Community. Not any Christ-centered community. We've got to have it. If we want to stay faithful to Jesus in every season, our whole lives long. Because life gets hard. More than that, life gets busy. And we just get so complacent. But together, we keep each other walking with him. Why else is community essential to this abundant, fulfilled, better than you dreamed life? It's in community that we are actually able to care for everyone without anyone being tapped dry. Remember the promise of abundant life for y'all, for you all, for everyone. What that means is that if someone is eating good and someone is living well and someone's got like 4 spare bedrooms and their great big old house, while somebody else is hungry and suffering and has no place to call home, it means we haven't arrived yet. Because you see, the good shepherd cares about all of his sheep flourishing. And we only flourish when we come together and take care of each other together. We know this in our hearts. We know this as parents. If we have one child who is flourishing, and we have another child who is struggling in every way, we are not at peace. We don't go to bed saying, well, 1 out of 2 is not so bad. I'll take it. When we as a church, when we take kids to camp, if we leave this parking lot with 25 kids and we come back with 24, I mean, that's like a 96%. That's summa cum laude in most universities. That's graduating with honors, but not when we're dealing with people. They better all come back home or it's all a failure. When God says that he created us for life and for life in abundance, he's not just saying, Jamie, I made this little tiny pocket of the world for you to live in and flourish in and enjoy and love your pillow at night and your beautiful view by day. I've done it all just for you, while others barely scrape by. God is saying, Jamie, I've created this world for y'all to live in abundance. And you can only do that in community, taking care of each other so that everyone has what everyone needs and more. It's impossible any other way. When some hoard, some have not. When all come together, all take care of each other. You see, God's promise of the abundant life, it must imply the well-being of all of God's people. This is the God who feeds everyone on the mountainside with the fish and the loaves. This is the God who leads all of his sheep to green pastures and still waters. This God cares that his people do not hoard and make bigger barns for themselves, but share and share. And if it's just one of us doing it, if it's just me or if it's just you, then my bit of sharing can only make this tiny pebble's worth of a ripple in a sea of need around us. And it's better than nothing, but it barely scratches the surface. But all of us sharing together, now we can make a wave. And then think beyond us, all of God's people, the entire church, the big C church. Is that a C to you or is this a C? The entire church taking care of one another. We can make a tsunami of care where literally everyone is cared for in this world with this living water that quenches the thirst and meets needs in those deepest places. The church can do it together. It's actually been God's plan for the world since Jesus ascended into heaven and the Spirit came down. In community, we are actually able to share the abundant life with everyone, and only in community. And no one has it unless everyone's got it. In Acts chapter 2, as it's describing that first gathering of believers, it says, all who believed were gathered together and had all things in common. They'd sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. It's just this tiny glimpse into how it's supposed to be when we do it together. How it actually can be when God's people get serious about being in community together. All things shared, nothing hoarded, none have need. Imagine that scenario. Could it be a reality? Could it? Because we all belong to each other. And there is no abundance for me unless my brother and sister know abundance as well, because the Father's heart is not at peace until all of his children are okay. I've told you this story before. Changed my life in my early 20s. This picture of what we're called to be together. I was living in Damascus, Syria at the time, and me and my partner there decided that day that we wanted to go to a children's hospital and just kind of share some little toys and encouragement with the children who were sick. And our Arabic got messed up, our directions got messed up, and we ended up at a hospital, but it was not a children's hospital. It was a hospital for those who were mentally unwell and for those who were physically unwell, but they were all adults. And so you had folks who were literally chained to their beds and people who were in more like cages that you would see animals in. And we walked by and I saw a nurse shoveling food into the mouths of five different people as if they were animals. No eye contact, no nothing. And it literally felt like hell. And I walked out of that place and I stood in this parking lot in Damascus, Syria, this nation where 95% of people are Muslim. Everyone I saw in that hospital seemed to be Muslim. And I said, God, how could this be? How could you let these people suffer like this with nobody to care for them, nobody to see them? Where are you, God? Where are you? And I tell you, clear as day, standing in that place, I heard the voice of God in my spirit like I've heard him so few times in my life. And he said, Jamie, I'm right here. Where's my church? Where's my church? There are more than enough of you all to see that these things don't exist at all. Where is my church? I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. Together, we could make a tsunami of care in this world. That's why it's essential that we do it together. Why else is community absolutely necessary for the abundant life? I ask this, what do you think is a human's deepest longing? What do you think is a human's greatest need? I propose that our greatest need is to be fully loved. We can go to bed hungry, but if we are surrounded by people who we know love us deeply, somehow our bellies may be hungry, but our spirits are full, are they not? And you can be someone who wines and dines with kings and queens, but if you go to bed alone, and there's not a single person in this world that you know actually loves you, I don't care what you had for dinner, you are as empty as can be. Our deepest human need is to be loved. And we cannot be loved, we cannot be fully loved, if we are not really fully known. For someone to know all about us, and say, I choose you anyway, despite all that, or because of all that, I just love you. That is what our hearts long for. And you know the only place that you can find that kind of love? In community with Christ and in community with his people. Because love is a communal thing. We do not have love on our own. It requires relationship. There is no abundance apart from love, and there is no love apart from community. Have you ever noticed, as you kind of track with Jesus through the Gospels, how often he approaches someone who is separated from community for whatever reason, usually because of some kind of ailment they have. The woman at the well, because of some kind of shame, she's separated from community. The demoniac living out in the tombs, separated from community. The bleeding woman, she is unclean, separated from community. The lepers, separated from community. And notice how Jesus approaches them, and he always heals whatever their ailment is first, but he never leaves it just at that. Have you ever noticed what he always does next? He sends them back into community. Because these people are not fully healed. They are not really well. They are not yet ready to flourish. Just because the bleeding is stopped or the leprosy is gone, that's part of it, but that's not it. They are not fully ready for the best life that they ever even dreamed of until they are back in the place where they can be known and where they can be loved. They cannot have the abundant life, the full life, until they are back in community. And this is why I get so nervous when people in our midst, in our flock, when they're gone for a while, and I check in after a few weeks, and so many times they say, you know, Pastor, I've just been struggling, and I'm just staying away for a while I work on myself. And I just want to say, and I usually do say, no. There is never full healing when we are hiding out and just working on ourselves. Jesus's approach to healing, to us living the best gift of life that he has for us, is always to send us into community to be together. Work on yourself. That's good. That's great. We all could do some good work on ourselves, but do it in community. Because there is no way to be known and loved without it. And what your heart, what my heart wants and needs most of all is to be known and to be loved in community. In Christian community, we share our gifts and we receive gifts one from another. And how fun is that? Who doesn't love to give a good gift? And who doesn't love to receive one? Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. It says, let's never stop meeting together because we need each other to spur us on, to keep loving, to keep serving, to keep being generous with the spiritual gifts that our God has given us. Remember the spiritual gifts seminar that Pastor Brian did almost 2 years ago? A lot of you figured out what your gifts were over that weekend, what you've been doing with it these last 2 years. It's no fun to keep a gift to yourself, is it? If you've been having fun with it, if you've been using it, you're probably having a ball, because gifts are meant to be shared. In this place, I receive such wonderful things from the gifts of my brothers and sisters. My life would be so empty without the people of God and the gifts that you bring to my life. In this very place, I receive the gift of hugs from Zeta. Do we not? I receive the gift of someone to love my little boy from Tammy. I receive the gift of laughter and endless dad jokes from Andy. I receive the gift of a passion for missions and what God is doing around the world beyond just my little tiny short-sighted place of Belfair from my friend Pam. I receive the gift of permission to worship loudly and authentically from the 6 or 7 folks that show up extra early every week to lead us into the place of worship. I receive the gift of encouragement every single day from my friend Kara, who checks in just to ask how I'm doing. Pastors don't get that very often, and it's a big deal. I receive the gift of helps in every way from Danielle. I receive the gift of prayer from our friend Charles, who's had to move away from this community and still lets me know almost every single week that he's praying for me. I receive the gift of wisdom from our friend Annie, the gift of what it looks like to be loyal from Miss Diane. I receive the gift of humble service from Stan. I receive the gift of ministry and having fun in it from Katrina. I receive the gift of being led by the Spirit of God from Mick, the gift of teaching from Linda, the gift of caring from Wendy. I receive the gift of really good baked goods from Jolene, the gift of hospitality from Jeremy and Christina and Elizabeth, and the gift of faithful accounting, something that I can do not at all, from Nick. And I receive the gift of a weekly smile from Alice. The gift of joy and wonder from all of our children. And I could go on and on and tell every one of you, and I would love to, how your presence in my life is a gift. As you share yourself generously and fully, we are all better for it in this place. And I pray that I'm a gift in return to you. And beyond just us to our community, that we are a gift to our world. Together, we share good gifts. Together, we give good gifts. And there is no abundant life without the sharing and the receiving of good gifts. Essential. Finally, in community, we are bolder together. In community, we are more willing to take God-sized risk together. Anyone ever had that crazy friend who pulled you into all kinds of shenanigans that you wouldn't have gotten into otherwise? You know that person. We're supposed to be those kind of friends for each other. But for pulling one another into Jesus shenanigans. We're supposed to be the kind of people who come together, and together we dare to do things with Jesus that are way bigger and way crazier than anything that we would ever do alone. Those sheep with their shepherd in the front, surrounded by their flock, will walk through the darkest valley together, where there are wolves and where there are thieves and where there are crevices, a place that they would never dare go alone. They will do it together, because together they are bold and together they are brave. Together they are strong. the abundant life is a life that doesn't just play it safe for 80 or so years. That's living, but that's not so much fun. The abundant life is risky. And the abundant life is bold for the Jesus things. And we do those Jesus things best when we do them together. You guys know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3, right? These three Jewish men, captives in Babylon. And together, when King Nebuchadnezzar says, everyone's going to bow down to my statue. Together, they said, not us three. I wonder if they could have done if they were just one alone. Together, we're not going to bow down. So they don't bow down. Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, well, then you're going to be going into the fiery furnace. Together, they go into the fiery furnace. I wonder if they would have recanted if there was just one of them alone. And together in that furnace, as they hold each other up, lo and behold, there is Christ right there in their midst as they are doing something together, being faithful and bold together. Oh, what we can do for Jesus when we do it together. Oh, how we can see the presence of our Jesus in some crazy places when we look for him together. We've got this group of people out of this very church right now daring to dream these God-sized dreams about housing for folks in our community. And how can our little church with our little budget make a big old dent in the housing crisis in this place? We don't have the money for it. We don't really have the experience for it. We have no idea what we're doing. But we have a really big Jesus and we're willing to be a little bit crazy with him together. What's the last crazy thing you did for Jesus? Who got you into it? Who are your crazy Jesus friends that just keep getting you into God-sized shenanigans? You gotta have them for the abundant life. We are more bold in Jesus together. Next week, we'll talk about how we actually get this kind of community. Be like, I've been coming to church for 20 years and I don't feel like I have that. Yeah, what can we do? What more do we do than just be present? How can we actually get this kind of community? But for this week, we just remember that we're called to have it. We can't have the abundant life without it. Perhaps you've heard the popular illustration of a man who was feeling depressed and really, really down. Hadn't been to church in a while. So the pastor calls him up and says, I'm coming for a visit. And he gets to his house and just kind of small talk. But before they get into much of anything, the pastor goes over to his fireplace and just builds a fire. Just helps himself. And they begin to have small talk for a little bit. But once that fire is going and raging, the pastor grabs the pair of tongs and pulls a little piece of wood apart from the fire. And it burns for a little while, and then it burns out. And the pastor tells that man, you know, our lives are no different from this. When we separate ourselves from community, we separate ourselves from the life, from the power that God has for us together, and we will burn out before we know it. And then he took that ember and put it back in the fire, and instantly it's ignited again, back to life, as it should be. And so it is with us. Jesus says, I've come to give y'all abundant life. You'll either get it together or not at all. That we might choose together. There's only full life in Christ together. Be in the flock. Be part of the flame. Let's do this loving the Good Shepherd and enjoying him together. How? Come back next week. That's the rest of the story. Do you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for every single person in this room. That they are part of my together. That without them, my life would not be as fully alive as you want it to be, because they give me gifts and they encourage me to be faithful and they give me passion and boldness that I could not have on my own. Lord, there are so many others in our community that need to be a part of such a flock of people seeking you, Jesus, together. We just get so burned out and overwhelmed on our own. We need each other, and you've given us each other. Let us take full advantage of this gift you've given us. Thank you, Good Shepherd, that you give us good people to love you with. Help us love them as we love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.